Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch, the goats in the industry since 1974. We have climbed the mountain from the bottom to the top. We have done all the interviews.
Yeah.
And one stands alone. It is the reigning national champions, the Kaiser Seahawks coach. Now, head coach Miles Russ joins us on the NAIAF Ball Podcast. Coach, are y'all going to have room to hang up another daggum red banner?
And we always have room for that. I'll tell you that much. That's one thing is the job's not done. We're going to keep on working, but that's always room for more.
Well, Coach, it was a excellent doesn't even begin to describe it. It is a record-setting season. It is a high water mark for Kaiser. So let's walk back through, and we'll start on a low note here.
Okay.
And that's going to be your first game, your 17-14 loss to Mississippi College. Mississippi College gets a field goal with 8:08 left in the fourth quarter. Y'all can't do anything else to answer back, and y'all take a Division II team to the brink, closer to the brink than y'all took Valdosta State last year, which I swear up, down, and sideways that made Valdosta extremely uncomfortable. But, you know, I know there's no such thing as a moral victory.
No.
But that's a D2 squad that you limited to 17 points, and you had every chance in the world at.
Yeah. I would say this, man. One thing that we have done with this program, Coach Socha, set the precedent on just making sure that we play top competition. You know, we're getting these kind of caliber guys that we feel like can play at a higher level, and we try to get them prepared to play at a higher level. So in order to do that, we have to play higher level teams. Those D2 teams, even though we feel like we're on the same level as, you know, I don't think NAIA gets enough credit of the caliber teams that we have. But that's one thing that, you know, we want to just show the rest of the country. And I think the year before was big for us, playing all those D2 FCS programs, even though we lost. And, you know, NAIA has a way of, you know, pulling teams down for those losses. But when we, you know, got into the playoffs, we really showed, you know, everybody that, you know, those losses was from really good teams, and that we should have been, you know, taken down from that point. So that kind of led to the next year and the year that you're talking about with Mississippi College, being able to hang with them. But now we're just trying to get to that next level.
And then you, in a departure from your 2022, you do catch a win in the middle there. You know, obviously that one and two a couple years ago, or 1-3, I can't remember which, was a toughie for you. And that, you know, obviously it doesn't affect you, but you get a win right in the middle against a good Lindsey Wilson team who was right on the edge of the playoffs. Talk to me about setting the tone, getting Meisinger going, and getting the dub against a good Blue Raider squad.
Yeah. So honestly, I got my daughter over here with me. So that's setting the tone for this interview, I can
say. Excellent.
That's what I, you know, but you know, speak of setting the tone. But yes, it was huge for us. Just again, that's a high caliber NAIA program that's done a great job of doing what they've been doing within it, and it's up to us being able to play them at their house to get a little bit of a part of that redemption tour. It was funny that started it all. Lindsey Wilson had our number this whole time, and I give those guys tons of credit. So being able to, you know, go back up there, and that's where it started of us trying to get over that hump, it's been great.
And then, Coach, you keep it going. You beat my Thomas Nighthawks. I'm excited to welcome y'all to our place this upcoming season. That's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yes, no, it's gonna be great. That's a team that is gonna continue to get better. You can see it already. They're doing a great job there, and we know exactly what they're going through. In terms of being that new program, being in a really good state that has a lot of guys that they can pull from. But it's going to be tough. I'm very interested to see how they take that next step as a program. I know how it goes, being, you know, at this program from the start of it. So it's going to be fun to, you know, see how that goes when we go up there to Georgia.
So then a little later on in the season, you get a game in which your defense has to stand on its head. You get 3 scores in the first half against St. Thomas, and then you have to make it stick against a real good St. Thomas squad. And then you come back in the playoffs, and you're rematched up against them. We'll come back to what you thought about the playoffs, but okay. Talk to me about playing a team twice, one, and second, how you manage to win both of those games when it's so hard to win that second game against a team. Man.
And so, and before we even get to that, you know, I want to make sure, I don't think our conference, our Sun Conference that we have gets enough credit. I really do believe that St. Thomas is one of the, you know, better teams in the country. And it's unfortunate. It is what it is in terms of NAIA playoffs and how it can be regionally based. But I really do believe, like, that's one of the top teams in the conference. And not even just the conference, but also in the country. So that's always tough. You know, it's a rivalry game. We've been battling since they started the program. And we go against each other during recruiting. We go against each other at every aspect of it. So it was tough, but it comes down to the details. And our guys know and understand that. The details with it, and because at the end of the day, we're going to be evenly matched. You know, what's going to separate yourself from the, you know, the next team. So those guys, that's going to be an ongoing process for it. So we're excited for it. But yeah, man, it's a battle. It's a battle, and it's tough that at the end of the day, that second game is going to determine, you know, probably who's going to get to that next level, who's going to get to that next championship. So we're proud of that as a conference, but we want to continue to work on that.
And then your semifinal game, I really want to pick your brain there.
Okay.
Man, you know, we talked about the defense standing on its head a little bit against St. Thomas, but my stars and garters, I was watching that College of Idaho game. And I'm sitting there going, how many times is College of Idaho going to be inside the dadgum 5-yard line and not be able to put the ball in the end zone?
I know. So I got to give it's credit to our staff. You know, the staff that I've been with those guys for the longest. Coach Owens, that's over there at the Lenore Ryan with Coach Socia. Coach Hilliker, who's over there with them as well. You know, all those guys put in the work. It's crazy. It's crazy how, you know, but it's not the first time they've been there. And that's why I want to, you know, that's what makes up our team. That's why I love the way we were able to build this thing. And I want to make sure I give Coach Vagnone and Coach Mickey, who's also on the defensive staff, some props there as well before I forget. But that's what's part of it. That's that competition that we try to set and put those guys in throughout the whole process, throughout training camp, throughout off the field, just competing, holding your own, being able to, you know, things not going your way, how are you going to respond? All of that stuff, you know, ends up coming out. It's going to show. So when it shows, we don't want our guys to be in the first time they're in that position. But yes, man, it was, you always going to have those games that everybody thinks that you should have won to win it all. And that's one of those games that we really had to endure a lot. And the defense held its own when they needed to. And then that's been the biggest thing.
So I'm going to put you on the other side of that then. It's late in the game. You're down. We'll say it's 27 seconds left.
Yeah.
And you have turned the ball over on downs twice inside the 4-yard line, and it's fourth and goal. What are you going to try to go one more time, 12th play inside the 5 there? Or are you going to trot your kicker out there? I mean, what's Miles Russ doing?
It's one of those things. If you can't get that, you don't deserve to win. I feel like that's just me. And again, my mentor, Coach Socia, I come from his tree, and that's the mindset. That's the mindset that I'm going to continue to have for our team. You have to finish. We have to finish, and don't leave any doubt. And that's how you don't leave any doubt. You go in and get in the end zone. That's not how you don't leave any doubt. But again, like I give a lot of credit to our defense. College of Idaho is a great program. They're disciplined. They're everything that we're about. And it just ends up, it was our year. But again, those guys did a great job. But yes, to answer your question, you gotta get in there. I don't blame them doing what they did. And I think they that's something that they can live with. You know what I mean? You go later, you're already away. You're that's the opportunity to end it there. And you know, give those guys kudos for trying, and our guys did a great job of stopping.
That is the correct answer, by the way. Kicking field goals inside the 5 is that drives me crazier than anything else. I hate seeing 22-yard field goals. It makes me want to punch myself in the throat.
Yeah, and if you talk to any of our guys in our offensive linemen, we said it already. We're RTB. We want to run the ball. We want to do that first. If we can't get in there, we don't deserve to get in there. So, you know, yes, man, it's just part of what we do. Here, but yeah, I'm going to try to keep that going.
And then we come to the big one, the rematch. And I got to tell you, Coach, I'm sitting there. I'm going, where's Beasley? Where's Bryce? Walked up to Coach. Hey, Coach, you got any... got anything you want to tell me about your starting lineup? Yeah. No. Sure don't.
Yep.
Okay, thanks for that. Awesome. But you make do with what you got. You set the tone early. That 75-yard run by Meisinger was, I mean, you know, obviously, you have to play the rest of the game, but that is absolutely, that's the statement piece.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say this. That's part of our program, next man up mentality. And it's going to continue to happen this year. Next man up. Nobody knows who that next guy going to be, but preparing these guys for it. So that's just occasion. Unfortunately, Bryce couldn't be out there, couldn't be full force to be out there. And the next man up was Wake, and he came in and he was ready. He was prepared. It wasn't something that we thought was going to happen. We thought we were going to have Bryce during the week. And it kind of, you know, as the week gone, it wasn't getting better, and we was really trying everything we could. But that's how we work. And I give Wake tons of credit because he didn't play as long as he was with us. He didn't play a lot, but he stuck with it. He understood what his role was on the team, and he stepped up. And then the other guys stepped up as well, understanding, hey, we don't have our leader in Bryce at the quarterback, but everybody else has to take that next step, and they did some.
Absolute mountain of a performance by Jaden Meisinger. 22 rushes for 261 doggone yards.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think the even better performance is your defense stopping a quarterback like Jalen Gramstad, limiting him to 15 of 34. You put him into the 40% range in completion percentage. You get a pick. You limit him to 18 attempts for 47 yards. Did y'all, having seen him in person last year, did you sort of have a better idea of how to handle him and handle him differently? Or was it just you just had the dudes?
No, it definitely helped. It definitely helped being able to see him before and know, understand what you're getting yourself into. I don't think you really don't know what that kid can do until you see it in person and actually going against him. He's stronger than you think. He's faster than you think. He's smarter than you think. So, you know, being able to see him the year before definitely helped our defense. But having that chip on that shoulder of, you know, knowing that redemption tour that we talked about, you know, when we started talking about Lindsey Wilson. So, yes, that definitely helped in terms of us playing him before. But the redemption aspect of it, you know, we didn't want anything to stop what we had for our goal. And we had the red jerseys for practice. So the defense wore red jerseys for the Red Raiders. All that stuff comes into it. And that was the reason. Honestly, I told you before already, you know, our entire coaching staff, but that defensive coaching staff on that side of the ball did a great job. But the players have to play. You know, you can coach them up and do what you have to do, but they have to be disciplined enough. They have to make sure, you know, they're staying in their lanes. They've been, you know, doing what they have to do, try to keep them in the box. The whole deal, that's part of it. And they stepped up. So you got to give this kudos to the players, because at the end of the day, they made sure that they did a great job with them.
Yeah, just having seen him twice now, Jalen twice now, that dude's a dude. There's no doubt about it. Well, let's get to your players. Obviously, we talked about Jaden going off for 261 in the national championship game. Big time players make big time plays in big time games.
Yeah.
And he's coming back for one more. DeAndre Golden, your leading wide receiver. No, tight end. Your leading receiver. DeAndre Golden. I love that. It's the second year in a row your leading receiver's been a tight end. That tickles me every time. But you got a few holes that you got to fill, whether it's your offensive line, whether it's at quarterback where Beasley is gone. Justin Wake is here. He just doesn't have a helmet. He has a headset coaching there.
And he's going to be he's doing a great job at that position as well, just to, you know, put that out there as well.
But talk to me about having as little of a dip as possible. Obviously, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult to go into 2024 and not have a dip in production with all that you're losing. But how do you make that dip as small as possible?
So at the end of the day, I don't want a dip. That's not what we're about here. It's not. And I don't want to just kind of put that out there. That's not Kaiser. That's not what we're even thinking. These guys, we're all in mentality. You know, we want all these guys that either are done through graduation, either are done looking for another home, just trying to go bigger. Whatever it may be, it's the next man up mentality. It's all you in or you out. And, you know, these guys know that, understand that. We're very transparent with it. I'm fair. I want to build a connection with these guys. But I know how things are going, how things are within it. So, like, you know, back to your question, you know, I don't want to dip. You know, who's going to be that next guy? And before those guys that you mentioned that are coming back, there were guys before them that nobody knew how we were going to replace them. So, that's been the motto since I, you know, got the position here, and we're going to have to find a way. And it's everybody within the program, the coaching staff, players that stayed. It's on us of making sure we continue to help with the process of replacing those players. And those guys that were behind those players need to step up. And that's all there is to it. Is we don't want to dip. That's not what we're about here at Kaiser University. I know it's not going to be easy. I know a lot of people think I'm not going to be able to do it. And I love the aspect of it. You know, if you look at my career, from before I started coaching to playing wise, the whole deal, nobody believed. So I'm okay. I'm used to that. So now it's just on me to make sure the other guys understand that we still have a job at hand to take care of, and we're going to try to do it with no dip.
Defensively, it was a great year. Obviously, we've talked about the defense standing on their head multiple times. You got some holes to fill there too. I mean, you know, you got a guy that's going from playing at the you know, next to the golf course to a guy that's now playing at the beach in Wendell Phelord. That's gonna be hard to replace with his three picks, 9 pass breakups, 3 punt return touchdowns, and a kick return touchdown. That is that is some explosiveness. You're gonna have to figure out how to replace. Never mind the defensive leadership from the safety position.
Absolutely.
Crap, man.
Absolutely.
So talk to me about finding guys that are going to be able to step up and be leaders on defense.
Yeah. So, you know, to that point, you've been a part of this thing. Say Shin Young.
Oh, heck yeah.
A guy that just did it all for us. And the talk was like, how are you going to replace Say Shin Young? Then when the Philo comes into play, then like, oh, my goodness. And so it's always, again, you know, we're going to keep on talking about next man up mentality. Some of the guys that we're excited for, we're excited for Kinsley Johnson that's over there that's been with us throughout this entire time. Trey Lubin, you know, it's been a great addition to us past couple of years. And then, you know, at the safety positions, you know, Justin Carcel has been doing his thing there as well. So now, as we kind of talk about those guys and then that star position in terms of some guys that we have with Darrell Livingston that's been a part of the program for 4 years that really can be his showing out party. We have some guys just giving the opportunity to do so. Now, again, it might have to have, you know, multiple guys to fill in what he's done. I'm not going to shy away from that just because, you know, Wendell is that kind of player. It's not a coincidence that, you know, he's playing at that high level at FAU. But getting these guys to understand that they have to be ready to go. So we have some freshmen as well that are coming in, but those names that I've given you, they've been a part of our program for at least 2 years, 2 to 3 years. So they know what to expect. This was a really good spring ball for them. And it's going to, you know, be how they're going to take that next step. That's going to be the difference.
I absolutely, you bring up Sage. I loved Sage. Such a good dude. I hated it. It hurt me deep down in my soul when he got hurt and tore that ligament. That just, I hated that for that kid. He was a good kid.
Yes, no, he did it all. That's one kid that you can say did it all. On the field, off the field, 4.0 student, just leader, he did it all for us. But, you know, back to that, nobody thought we could ever replace that. So it's one of those deals. We got to find a way.
So, Coach, you know, the hardest thing in athletics, I don't think it's actually winning a national championship. I think it's the season after. I think the hardest thing in athletics is the season after you win a national championship.
Yeah.
And figuring out how to climb the mountain again. So, what area of your program, whether it's something on the field, off the field, are y'all really wanting to focus on in 2024 as you try to climb the mountain again?
I think that just to make sure this summer is huge for us. Making sure the guys are bought in and bringing in certain pieces that we have to replace. But seeing that difference of those guys that were you know, right behind those guys, the guys that we lost, how are they going to take that next step? So the summer is where you can really get a really good idea of where you're at as you transition into that training camp. And that's one thing that we've been doing. That has been part of our recruiting model as well, having a lot of guys that live in the area, being able to have guys that are around in the summer working out and putting in that work. That's what it takes. That's what it takes to take that next step. So understanding that we have to make sure that happens, and that would allow us to, the transition is going to be huge. It's going to be big, trying to replicate what we did last year. But that summer, that's one thing that I'm really focused on this summer coming up.
Well, Coach, I am so excited to see what happens with the Sun Conference in this coming year. I mean, obviously, St. Thomas has been a program on the rise now. We've been, I know, honestly, folks are probably tired of us touting St. Thomas, but they haven't gotten enough love for like the last 3 years. And so I'm like going, do you see these guys? I mean, you've got St. Thomas, you've got a Florida Memorial team that last year was a dang good squad. I was impressed with them. You're not going to be able to keep Southeastern down forever. There is too much of a championship mentality in Lakeland.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to keep them down. Ave Maria can bite you in the rear when you least expect it. I don't know if that running back's back from them, for them this year, but
he's a load.
I watched him just tear through that Nighthawk defense. I'm like going, good gosh, who is this guy? Weber, Warner, the OGs of the conference.
Yes.
And, yeah, you know, some guys from Georgia with Green.
Hey, I'm telling you, that's one team I know. They're doing a great job over in at Thomas. Yep.
You know.
It's good. I think the biggest thing about it, just making sure that the rest of the nation knows. I think that's the most important piece of it. Like, it's just not just us out here. It's not just St. Thomas out here. These other teams within the conference, man, they play some good ball. So, you know, hoping that they're able to play outside their conference, getting the opportunity to do so and play some other NAIA teams outside the conference, I think will help with this. So I hope those teams are doing that. I don't know their schedule, but that's what we had to do. Nobody gave us any kind of, you know, leeway in the beginning. We had to go out to Dort. You know, we had to go, you know, go out of, you know, play Georgetown when we first started. Like, we had to go out to play those teams. So, you know, hoping those guys are able to do so. This is a conference that should get three teams, just like how they try to get a lot of those three teams in the other conferences in the playoffs. You know, I think this conference is a three-team minimum for sure.
We'll have to see. You know, if Florida Memorial takes that next step, or if Southeastern returns to what it was around the 2018 time frame, I definitely think it's you're not going to be able to keep that out. I mean, the first year that we did this, the Sun Conference was a tie between Southeastern and Ave. Back then, and I want to say Southeastern got the nod for the playoffs back then. That was a long time ago. I can't remember back that far. Yeah. But it is definitely one of the preeminent conferences in the nation, and I might be a homer because it's around where I live. But I'm just going to tell you, you know, you see it on the page. You see last year with Kaiser, what y'all were able to do coming from a 12 seed. I know. How funny. You know, but
that's what they said. They put us there. They put us at a 12 seed. I'm not sure how accurate it was, but that's what I'm talking about in terms of hoping to get a little bit more
Rodney Dangerfield
recognition
here
from the rest of the country.
Little Rodney Dangerfield, we don't get no respect?
Yeah, just a little bit.
I hear it. I mean, you know, out of conference is hard to do. I know, you know, no one wants to fly down to Florida. No one wants to drive down to Florida, but, you know, You got to do it. It's fun.
It's part of it. This is just from being a part of this program. And I know how, and that's how we got to where we're at right now. So, you know, at the end of the day, they got to do what's best for their program. But I just know what we have done. That was, you know, that's been the reasoning. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, back to the conference, it's, you know, everybody's checking us off. They're checking up with Kaiser, where everybody's Super Bowl. We know and understand that, especially now, especially, you know, a new guy at the head of it. You know, I know that our kids understand that. And, you know, I'm trying to continue to use that as fuel. Just use that as fuel for our guys and for our coaching staff of, you know, understanding everybody's writing us off within the conference and all, as they should. You know, we have a really great conference, but we have to do a great job of making sure that we keep this thing going.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.